We'll be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
That song we were just singing together is going to serve as the theme for our devotional thoughts tonight. I want you to listen again to the words of the first verse. Swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moment? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? I think most of us can understand how swiftly life's daily pages are turning. It was interesting on Wednesday night at the Erie White, I ran into a couple that they were my adopted parents when I was at college. Memorial Road had an adopted college student program, and I started visiting with them. They had little kids when I was a college student, and I said, well, how are the kids doing? And the oldest of those little kids is now 36 years old. You talk about swiftly. The pages, you know, those daily pages of life are turning. We had a dinner with them last night. When we came home, Tawny, apparently, I didn't remember this, she did some observing of this woman was a teacher. Tawny was going through her education degree, and she observed this lady in her classroom, and she said, can you believe I'm older right now than she was when we knew them back in when you were in college? And I was like, yeah, I can. No, I don't believe that at all. That seems amazing to me that you would be that old. Somebody's going to celebrate, they said, 40 years of marriage. And then somebody else said 60 years. You know, I said, well, we have 20. And then somebody else, 40. And then 60. That just goes by so fast. Never thought we'd be at 21 years. And then somebody's at 40 and somebody's at 60. That's how life goes. There's a philosophy of life as all of these changes take place that Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. This philosophy of moving ahead to the future with hope and optimism, forgetting about the things that are in the past. He said, not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about some things that we need to leave in the past as we look to the future. We'll talk about four or five of these. I hope you'll include some of your own, things that you need to turn the page, you need to put those things in the past. You need to stop doing certain things, and others that you need to start practicing. I want to start with this. We need to turn the page from hatred to love. And as we think about that idea, I think many of you will understand this. There seems to be more turmoil, hatred, bitterness, anger in our world. I don't remember in my childhood seeing the kinds of things or hearing the kinds of things that we see and hear on the news today. I know that political parties have never agreed. I know that they've always disagreed, but I don't know that there's ever been quite so much dissension as what we see today, that when people disagree, they don't just disagree, they begin to despise one another and demonize the other person. If you don't believe what I believe, then you're not a good person. And I don't just disagree with you, I despise you. There's a hatred of one party for another. I think we see hatred of one race for another. We see hatred of one class for another. And all of that seems to be escalating. And of course, we've got a 24-hour news cycle that constantly reminds us how much people seem to hate each other. As Christians, we're not supposed to be known for the intensity of our hatred. We're supposed to be known for the incredible capacity that we have for love. In fact, Jesus calls that the number one identifying mark of true discipleship. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." According to the Bible, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, while he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. So as we turn the calendar from 2017 to 2018, we need to turn the page from hatred to love. We need to try harder to practice what Paul told the Corinthians to do when he said in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14, "Let all that you do be done with love." And before we sing about that, I want you to think seriously about this. There may be people in your life that have given you good reason to dislike them. They've said things or done things to you or to somebody that you love, and you've allowed a real resentment and bitterness to store up in your heart against that person. And I want to encourage you tonight, as we end this year, turn the page on a new year, to let go of that resentment. And instead of hating, overcome evil with good. Conquer hatred with the love of Christ. You have, God in Christ has forgiven you. And that should change some of your outlook on life. And so this year, I hope that we'll close the book on rude behavior. Let the pages of our new year be filled with kind thoughts, kind words, and kind deeds. I just keep telling myself, turn your microphone off when it's time to sing. It's making me nervous. So we want to turn the page from hatred to love, from being rude to being kind. We want to turn the page from fear to faith. I think this is a relevant thought for what's going on in our culture and the things that have been going on around us all year long. It's easy to feel afraid. We had a seminar on the media. Philip Patterson came over from the school and he talked about the news media. And that kind of, if it bleeds, it leads. And one of the things he said about the news is they always leave the impression it's a mean and scary world out there. Well, in some ways it is. And over the course of this year, I think we've had a lot of reasons to feel afraid. You think about some of the natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, wildfires that have destroyed property and caused a tragic number of casualties. I mean, we're seeing this at an alarming rate. People that are forced out of their homes because these storms come in, the flood waters, you know, as they rise up, these folks can't even stay in their homes. Fires that are sweeping, you know, through some of the western states. We hear about loss of property, loss of life. And there's not anything we can do to prevent those things or to even always know when something like that might happen. Mass shootings, random bombings, terror attacks that include someone driving a car into a group of unsuspecting pedestrians. People are just walking along a sidewalk or they're congregating together in a large group, maybe waiting, you know, to get into an event, and a car just plows into that group of people. And we're kind of shocked by these kinds of brutal attacks that we hear about. And I think I'm right when I say that there was a time we'd kind of comfort ourselves by saying, those things happen, but they don't happen here. I mean, we've heard about that. We've seen news accounts of that, but it happened over in the Middle East Those people over there are always fighting. But it doesn't happen here. But this year we've seen things that took place at a nightclub in Orlando, a church in Texas, a concert in Las Vegas, and many other events that make it clear that those things are an undeniable part of life here. I think about natural disasters. I think about violence. I think some of us feel unsettled and afraid because of the political situation in our country, the tension with other nations like Russia or North Korea. We constantly hear catchphrases like Russian collusion. Is our democracy safe? What we hear about the threat of nuclear proliferation in North Korea. Could they build a missile that could reach where we live? As we turn the page from 2017 to 2018, and I think this is difficult for some of us. Maybe it's true of more of us than it should be, but many of us are worried and upset about many things. And it doesn't take very much to cause us to be worried and upset and afraid. We have to remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. The spirit that he's caused to dwell within us is not a spirit of fear, but one of power and one of love and one of self-discipline. God doesn't want us to be like the one talent man who was afraid to do anything for the good of the kingdom because he was just afraid. We should strive to be bold. We should never forget that this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. Isn't that a great thought? The victory that overcomes the world. It's not our fear. It's our faith. And so I want to encourage you to turn the page of being so afraid, worried and upset about so many things, and trying to make 2018 a year of greater faith. Less fear, more trust in God, more focus and comfort that comes from His promises, knowing who He is and what He's guaranteed that He'll do. I think if you read the history of the early church, the earliest days of the church, God's people were zealous, zealous people. Before I pursue that thought, I want to tell you that our theme for affirming the faith in March is unfinished business. One of the thoughts I had when we selected that theme is that there are things that we read about in the Bible that have been left unfinished. We talk about being the church that you read about in the Bible. We're the church that uniquely belongs to Christ. And we talk about the plan of salvation. We talk about how we worship, how the church is organized, male spiritual leadership. There's some things that have been left unfinished. We need to turn the page from apathy to zeal. When we read the pages of the New Testament, these people were passionate about preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, I've resolved to know nothing while I was among you except for Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Peter preached, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made to be both Lord and Christ. They didn't just preach Christ. They made it clear salvation is found in no one else. No other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I met someone recently who was talking about how they intentionally build friendships with people. Somebody that is a waitress at a restaurant. Somebody that checks them out at a store in the mall. Cashier at the store. Somebody that, they work with a teller at the bank. They're trying to go and frequent the same places over and over again and meet people and develop relationships so that they can begin sharing the gospel. with those people. I wonder how many of us are really doing that. We say we're the church that you read about in the Bible. Where's the zeal? They went everywhere preaching the word. They had to tell the people of the first century to stop talking about Jesus. Well, that's not all they did. As we think about the zeal of the first century, they made costly sacrifices for the cause of Christ. We read about people that owned property, fields, and they sold their property, and then they brought that money and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was given to anybody as they had need. We read about people who gave according to their ability and beyond their ability because they had given themselves first to the Lord. We read about a widow who gave all that she had, everything she had to live on. Early Christians didn't just sacrifice, they also suffered terribly for following Jesus. We read about Christians being imprisoned. We read about Christians who were stoned and put to death with a sword. We read about people who were totally committed to the cause of Christ. We need to turn the page in our own lives from apathy to a greater sense of zeal. I believe I'm right in saying that there are many modern Christians that don't want to be bothered with the demands of discipleship. Many of us are busy pursuing our own interests, not the interests of Christ. The possibility of imprisonment or persecution seems unlikely for many of us. Is it an imposition to do something as simple as attending services, giving as we've prospered, making use of our talents, sharing our faith? The Bible has a word for this. I'm saying apathy, but the Bible word is lukewarm. In Revelation 3:16, we're told that kind of behavior was nauseating to Jesus. He said, I'd rather that you be hot or that you be cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I feel like I'm missing a target audience here. Folks who want to be here on the last Sunday night of the year, who seem to already have priorities where they ought to be. But let me just say, I think all of us can become complacent. And from time to time, we have a song, you know, Light the Fire. We sing about how we want God to light the fire in my heart again. And I think as one year ends and we are just beginning another new year, a wonderful gift of starting over again, it's a good time to think about commitment and passion and zeal. In the words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, that we should be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. I hope all of us can be more excited about what God is doing, what He has done, and what He is doing, that we can be more committed to serving Him faithfully with our time and with our talents and with our money. This next thought comes from 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I want to encourage you to turn the page on those things that are seen to the things that are unseen. I think there's a unique challenge here. I think it's easier to focus on the things that are seen because we can see them. And I know that's obvious. But I think it's important that we say that. There's a unique challenge of focusing on those things which are unseen because we can't see them. And so the things that are seen, even though we know they're temporary, even though we understand these things aren't going to last, it's easier to kind of focus our life around those things because we can see them and we can touch them with our own hands. And it's harder for us, even though we know the unseen things of God are eternal. We know that these things last forever. It's harder for us to focus on those things because they're not visible. They're not tangible. We can't see them with our own eyes and hold them with our own hands. Jesus said it this way. He says, don't store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. I think we all understand that. The treasures here aren't permanent. They wear out. People can take those things from us. And so they're not always safe, even though we tend to feel secure when we have more of this world's possessions. Those things aren't what make us secure. All of that can be taken away. All of that can wear out. It doesn't last. So Jesus says, store up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust will not destroy. Thieves can't break in and steal. If you'll turn the page from the temporary to the eternal, from the seen to the unseen, if you'll really store your treasures in heaven, they're safe there, and they'll last forever. Well, let's try this year, as we move from 2017 to 2018, to renew our spiritual vision and to keep the unseen eternal things of God kind of as the focus of who we are, our value system, the things that we care about. I want to invite your Bibles back to Romans 6, where we had our scripture reading tonight. As you're turning over to Romans chapter 6, we talked about turning the page from hatred to love, turning the page from rudeness to kindness, turning the page from fear to faith, from apathy to zeal, from the seen to the unseen. I'm going to change up here a little bit. I was going to read you a poem and talk about, you know, changing from rebellion to submission. But there's something in this passage that I think is a better place for us to end tonight. Let's just start in verse 1. I just want you to read along with me as we conclude our service tonight. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Folks, listen. There's the first hint at what we need to be doing as we turn the page of one year to the next. We need to turn the page on a life of sin. I know how easy it is. I know how good the devil is at deceiving, at tempting. He's described as a liar and the father of lies, and we're warned about how deceptive he is and how wily he is, to arm ourselves against that. And it is so easy to allow sin into our lives and then allow that sin to become a habit. And he says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? In verse 3, don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's not writing to people who haven't done that, telling them that they ought to. He's writing that to people who have done it. And He's reminding them what happened. You died to sin. You're done with sin. That old man doesn't exist anymore. You've been buried with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You're a new person. You're not the person you used to be. I mean, if that's you, if this is something you've already done, that's what you did when you were baptized. That's what happened. Verse 5, if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We've close the book on that chapter. Some of us are haunted by things we've done in the past. You're not that person anymore. You've been forgiven of those things. That old man is dead and buried with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You're a new creation. You're a different person. And you're supposed to live like it. In verse 7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. The life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I think that's the last of these points that I want to make tonight. Turn the page on sin. Be dead to sin so that you can be alive to God. It's such a crucial decision. And I already said this, but I want to say it again because it's true of so many of you that are sitting here tonight. Paul was writing to people who had already made this decision, people just like you. And he was reminding them of the change that took place when they put Christ on in baptism. They weren't baptized so that they could continue in sin that grace might abound. They were baptized so that that old way of life, that old sinful man could be put off and buried, put away, so that they could start a brand new life, a life of righteousness. And so, as we think about turning the page, let's all strive to be dead to sin so that we can be alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, for some of us, that means that we need to do what's being taught here in Romans 6. We need to die to ourselves. We need to be buried and baptized into Christ so that we can be raised up a new creation. Just as he was raised to a new life, we need to be raised up to walk in newness of life. Some haven't done that. You need to. Why not do it tonight? What reason would you have for not turning the page on a life of sin and starting a brand new, a clean slate, a book that hadn't even been written in yet? A whole new life where the old is gone and the new has come. There may be somebody here tonight that needs to do that. But let me say this before we offer the invitation. Most of us have done that. My question is, have we really closed the book on that old chapter? See, there's an opportunity not just to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Sometimes we need to repent and confess and pray, and start over again in our life. We need to be restored and reconciled. If you need to start a new chapter, not just a new year, but a new life with Christ, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.